Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on this bright and sunny Wednesday morning. And tomorrow we'll be hopefully getting some downpouring rain at this time. Well, not that we want to be downpouring. We want people to get to work and school safely, but we're going to be getting some rain tomorrow and Friday and even into Saturday. It won't be enough, but it'll be a start toward helping us get out of this drought situation. But as we were saying earlier this morning, it won't be enough to soak the ground and really get us out of drought status. But every bit helps, I guess, at this point. But we are still under those red flag warnings, so no burning things outdoors. No throwing cigarettes on the ground or out the car window. You know, you got to be vigilant, got to be aware. Because as WPRI reported, Massachusetts has already dealt with over 400 brush fires this month alone. 400 brush fires only in November, and it's November 20th. There's still 10 more days to go in this month, and 10 more days that will likely still be in critical drought status. If not critical, certainly in substantial. So if you are planning on cleaning up the yard this weekend, getting the house ready before relatives come over for Thanksgiving or what have you, then you're going to want to bag those leaves or compost those leaves. You're not going to want to burn them because those burning restrictions are at the state level. So don't worry about what your town is saying. The state is saying you can't burn anything. You also heard Phil mention in the news there the story about the Conjuring House in Burrville not having its entertainment license renewed. So basically what happens now is the license for them to be able to do ghost hunt events and tours and overnights and all that kind of stuff expires November 30th. And they are not going to have a license to do that after November 30th. Now, apparently, since this news came out, Jacqueline Nunez, the owner, has gone to had the website changed, and it says that the Conjuring House is being rebranded as the Realm of Arnold. It's going to be focusing on the Arnold family. I don't know exactly when that statement got posted to the website. I know that it started circulating around social media the night that the town of Burrville decided that they weren't going to renew the license. So that would have been Monday night. So I don't know if this was something that was put up in reaction to that or not. I don't know if this is part of the rebranding to make it less about the Conjuring, more about the Arnold family and become, you know, maybe an Airbnb, which would be, from my understanding, permissible. Because it's not entertainment events, that's lodging. I don't know what the town bylaws are for Airbnb in Burrville, but let's just assume that, you know, Jacqueline Nunez could get away with that. That becomes a way to still have revenue come in. And the camping that they do, the outside camping that they do in the summertime, that would still be able to be done too. Because there's plenty of Airbnbs that are just, you know, campsites. So I think that that might be what she's looking, and I don't know anything, but that might be what she's looking into. However, on the website for The Conjuring House, which is theconjuringhouse.com, they're still taking reservations for ghost hunt events, for investigations, for historical tours into December, into January, into next year. Please do not book those. And if you know anybody that's thinking about booking them, please do not let them book those, because those are not going to be able to be honored. Unless there's a sale pending that nobody knows about, those will not be allowed to happen. And that new owner would have to apply for an entertainment license. And considering everything that's been going on, I don't know that the town would give an entertainment license to somebody else that came in either. So if you book those, there's a chance you're going to have to try to fight with your credit card company to get that reimbursed, because they're not going to happen. So just keep that in mind. I know, like, this is the time of year that people want to give each other gifts, and they might be like, you know what? I want to give you an experience, and I know you're into ghosts. I'm going to get you a Conjuring House tour or Conjuring House overnight or something. Don't do it. Because, first of all, bookings will only empower her to think that what she's doing is right. But also, they're not going to be able to happen. And maybe you have an easy credit card company that you can call up and say, hey, I booked this thing and now it's not going to happen. Can you refund me? And they say, okay. But I think for most of us, it would be a struggle. You'd have to prove that they weren't happening and that you weren't going. And so don't get yourself in that position. Don't take the chance and figure everything will work itself out and you can still go there in January. It's not going to happen. And I would like to think she's going to get those taken down from the website, because it's irresponsible to leave them up there. And then, of course, he also had the news about the coffee shop, Miss Lizzie's Coffee, succeeding in court once again. And I have the story up at WBSM.com and on the app that has a link in it if you want to read the entire decision written by the appellate court by Judge Bruce Selya. And he definitely had fun writing that one. I could tell because of all the ghost references he worked in and Lizzie Borden references he worked in, even in the footnotes. He had them in there. And you can read that. You can read Judge Sorokin's decision when he decided last year that the coffee house, that the Lizzie Borden house did not deserve an injunction, that they failed to meet the criteria to prove that they needed an injunction, injunctive relief. And you can read the original complaint by the Lizzie Borden house. But the idea that people are confused by the two, it, as the court pointed out correctly, in my opinion, if consumers are confused, but the business has done what it can to eliminate that confusion, the business is no longer liable for that confusion. Miss Lizzie's Coffee has a sign in the window that clearly states it is not affiliated with the Lizzie Borden house. If a person goes into the coffee shop, does not read that sign, buys a coffee, then goes into the Lizzie Borden house and says, well, what do you mean I can't bring this coffee in? I bought it in your coffee shop next door. And then the house has to say, well, that's not our coffee shop. We don't own it. Well, this is crazy. I should be able to bring my coffee in. First of all, nobody like booked the Lizzie Borden house and said, well, I can't bring my $4 coffee in there, so now I'm not doing it. I want my money back. Like, nobody said that. Nobody traveled from Indiana or Nebraska or Nevada or anywhere and said, when they got to the Lizzie Borden house, well, I'm not taking the tour now because you won't let me bring my coffee in. They probably left their coffee outside or drank their coffee first and then went in and did it. I also know for a fact not every tour guide told them they had to leave their coffee outside. Some people let them bring them in and leave them in the kitchen and said, you know, we're not supposed to let you bring that in here, but, you know, come in and take the tour and I'll be ready for you in the kitchen when you get out. But the idea that this is confusion that is causing anger with their customers and causing them to lose business is ridiculous. If anything, it'd be more likely to cause the coffee shop business because people taking the tour would not now go in there and buy a coffee. What this boils down to is the owner of the U.S. Ghost Adventures company just feels like anything in the realm of Lizzie Borden should be his. And that's not just based on this, but that's based on conversations I've had with former employees and people who have told me, like, he has it in the employment agreement that if you write a book based on your experiences working here, he gets the money. If you appear on television and get paid for it to talk about your experiences there, he gets the money. Like, I was shown these employment agreements. So this is somebody who just thinks that when they bought the Lizzie Borden house, they bought the Lizzie Borden story. And as Judge Sorokin pointed out, or Sorokin, and as the Circuit Court of Appeals reaffirmed, you can't own the legend and the lore. You can only own the very specific trademarks. And I actually reached out to a lawyer when this case first started going on and kind of gave them my theory on it. And I said, tell me if I'm right about this. The trademark, if it's for the Lizzie Borden name and hospitality services, only means it's for the Lizzie Borden name. And the name Lizzie wouldn't count. And the hatchet is a very specific trademark to a very specific design. And it wouldn't count if they had a hatchet in a different depiction. And this lawyer said to me, who has experience in this field, like, well, I don't know. I think the house has a solid claim. It didn't turn out to be the case. You know, the district judge and, you know, the lawyer even said, you know, I'm a little bit surprised, but I also see like their point of view. I see their reasoning behind it. So the fact that it was trying to take a very specific thing and apply it to all things Lizzie Borden is the issue here, which means anybody that tries to open a business in Fall River that capitalizes on Lizzie Borden, he might have gone after them as well. And the other part of that, too, is he's been accused, and this is in news stories. This isn't me accusing him. This is something that's been in print, of taking people's trademarked and copyrighted tours and copying those and taking their trademark names and copying those. So he's done the very thing that he's accusing the coffee shop of doing. And so what is going on there? I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of how they build their tours and all that. I'm only telling you what the people have claimed. My guess is that, you know, they probably hire people to write these tours, as many of these tour companies do. They hire somebody that is local to research it and come up with a tour script so that the people can use it. And so maybe they're not aware as a company where the people who are writing those tours are getting their information from. That's entirely plausible. But they're picking the names. They're picking the name of the company and the tour. And they know that that's extremely similar to existing tours that are already operating and that are causing market confusion. When that story came out, I can't tell you how many ghost tours reached out to me and said, that's hilarious that they're claiming that people are getting confused when they've literally intentionally confused consumers in our town as to, you know, which ghost tour is ours and which one is theirs. So, I don't know, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. So coming up after the news, I'll share with you that other positive story that I had for you today, the other feel-good story. But right now I have a story where, I don't know, this might not make you feel good. It depends on how you feel about Buddy Cianci. So as you know, the ice rink in downtown Providence, they always have different names for it, or I shouldn't say always, but they frequently had different names for it as, you know, it depends on who's sponsoring it. Last year, it was named for the former sponsor, Bank Newport. But this year, the Buddy Cianci Educational Foundation tried to get it named after Providence's most notorious former mayor. So WPRI is reporting that Brad Turchetta, Cianci's nephew and president of the foundation, told 12 News his uncle brought the ice rink to the city back in 1998. So it's only fitting that it be named after him. He's the one that came up with this, that pushed this forward and made it happen. And so it would only be fitting if it was named after him, and that it would be a nice addition to his legacy. He says the foundation offers scholarships with money raised by selling jars of the family's marinara sauce, which is named after the two-time mayor, which, that helps them come up with all this money that they then give to scholarships. But they offer $200,000 over 5 years for the naming rights of the ice rink, which fell $75,000 short of the actual asking price, Mayor Brett Smiley told Channel 12. He said that the proposal request had a minimum bid of $60,000 per year for the five-year term, or a one-time payment of $275,000. However, the bid the city received was lower than this minimum requirement. However, this was also the only bid that the city received for the naming rights. Now, that doesn't mean that if they lowered it by $75,000, they might not have gotten more submissions. But are there not enough people around the city of Providence that still have affection and fondly remember Buddy Cianci that they couldn't raise another $75,000 to meet that minimum threshold? Could the Buddy Cianci Foundation not, solicit some of its own contributors to say, hey, can you help us out with this? Because we think this would be a nice piece of the former mayor's legacy. But if you didn't get any other submissions and you're not going to have any sponsorship at all, isn't $200,000 better than nothing? And why not say, all right, well, if we accept this bid, let's put it out for, a week or two to get more submissions for people that might bid at that price. And maybe they're still the only one you get. But it seems like, you're being a hardliner and you're going to end up with nothing as opposed, and who knows, maybe there's something deeper in this. Maybe they just don't want to call it the Buddy Cianci Memorial Ice Rink. I don't know. But I would think that considering what Cianci meant to the city, and I know, he had some issues, went to jail, but I think a lot of people would agree that he helped foster making that ice rink a possibility. And it shouldn't be an issue at all to have it named after him. What do you think? 508-996-0500. You can send your app chat messages on the WBSM app as well. I think, controversy aside, there's got to be a way to make this happen. $75,000 is a lot of money to raise, but not necessarily a lot of money to raise with the support that Cianci had in that city. You would think that they could get someone to step up and make some kind of deal. But again, you're going to have no naming rights at all if that's the only bid you received? I don't get that. Let's go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
It might be a while before you see Donald Trump back in a courtroom. Which blood pressure meds could be bad for your kidneys? And five ways to a happier life.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Trump's New York City hush money case might be put on hold for 4 years. In a series of filings, Trump's lawyers urged the judge to delay ruling on Trump's argument for presidential immunity. The DA's office also wanted a pause in the case, but not a dismissal. The Trump cabinet nominations keep rolling in. The latest, TV's Dr. Oz to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Brian Shook has the details.
CMS oversees Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and healthcare.gov, which currently provides coverage to nearly 50% of Americans. Trump said Oz has been at the forefront of healthy living for decades and will work alongside Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been nominated to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Brian Shook.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries will lead his party again in the lower chamber. Democrats elected him for another 2 years on Tuesday. Minority Whip Catherine Clark and Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar were also reelected. Jeffries is the first black lawmaker to lead a party in Congress, taking over for former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the House's top Democrat. The judge overseeing Sean Diddy Combs' case is reportedly calling an emergency hearing after his jail cell was raided by the feds. Combs' lawyers say feds raided his cell and seized privileged materials. That's according to TMZ. His attorney claimed those materials included notes to his legal team about defense witnesses and strategies for his trial, which is set for May in New York. More than 30 state attorneys general are joining a national effort to increase federal online protections for children. The bipartisan coalition is urging Congress to pass the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act before the end of the year. The group says lawmakers need to address the growing crisis of youth mental health linked to social media use. A new study from researchers at the University of Virginia School of Medicine indicates that some types of blood pressure medication can cause damage to the kidneys. Tammy Trujillo explains.
RAS inhibitors are widely used to block the effects of an enzyme that's produced by the kidneys when blood pressure drops. The UVA study shows that long-term use of RAS inhibitors can impair kidney function and lead to serious health problems. Researchers hope the study will lead to better ways to manage high blood pressure and other vascular diseases. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And when it comes to happiness, experts say there are five habits you can embrace to help your joy become more consistent. Lucinda Kay has the story.
A psychologist at UC Riverside says find activities you can become fully absorbed in. It's called a flow state, and it brings you joy, like music, yoga, art, volunteering. Practice random acts of kindness. They can make you feel generous and capable. And choose gratitude. Celebrate your wins and cheer on other people's accomplishments, too. And the big one, nurture your relationships. Research shows relationships are more important than money, your job, and even your health when it comes to the pursuit of happiness. I'm Lucinda Kay.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Bruins are moving on from their head coach just 20 games into the regular season. The Bruins announcing on Tuesday that Jim Montgomery has been let go. They're on home ice Thursday night with Utah Hockey Club. Celtics, meanwhile, hitting the road to play the Washington Wizards on Friday. New England Patriots in Miami to play the Dolphins on Sunday. You can hear the game right here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
One last beautiful day in store for Wednesday before big changes to our weather. A soaking rain arrives on Thursday morning, marking likely the first time since September that we pick up over an inch of rain. Our latest forecast has trended even higher. This is great for a drought situation, but too much heavy rain at once could lead to flooding, so look out for that on the roads. Showers linger on Friday, with any rain being on the lighter side. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
and welcome back in. Down on the Upside, an underappreciated Soundgarden album for sure. Also, don't forget, too, this Sunday, the Patriots are going to be back on WBSM. They're heading to South Florida to take on the Miami Dolphins. Patriots-Dolphins kickoff is at 1 p.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 10 a.m. And you can hear the New England Patriots all season long right here on 1420 a.m. and 99.5 FM. WBSM. And if you want to hear our regular Sunday programming, you can hear that on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And for those of you who are listeners to Town Square Sunday, we have added an extra replay of Town Square Sunday on Sundays as well at 8 a.m. So you can hear it at 6 a.m., 8 a.m., and 11 a.m. to make sure that you get all the great information on that program Sunday mornings here on WBSM. So I had said that I had another feel-good story for you. I thought finding a card worth millions of dollars, somebody helping you find a card that's worth millions of dollars, is a feel-good story. But this one is a little bit more of a personal feel-good story for the person that went through it. This comes from WCVB as well. A Watertown resident lost the center diamond of a family heirloom ring, and she retraced her steps and realized the only place she hadn't looked was in a sidewalk recycling compactor on Mount Auburn Street. So she called the recycling coordination department, whatever, the trash department, and said that she thought she lost her diamond from her ring in the recycling compactor. The city's recycling chief, Matt Bacon, said, "My understanding is she put her hand in to drop stuff off in the bin, bumped the top, and the diamond got popped off. So it was somewhere in that bin." So he showed up. He had her come down to the recycling compactor and put on gloves and trash bags, and then just started fishing through it. And after 15 minutes, Matt Bacon found the diamond deep inside the recycling compactor. And so while the woman didn't want to go on camera and talk about it, she was very, very grateful, gave him a big hug, and said the odds of finding the stone were extremely small, yet Matt went out of his way to help. He sat on the sidewalk next to me so he could help me scan the piles of garbage. When he said, "There it is," I was stunned. I hugged him so hard he almost fell over. So now, you know, they were able to take what could have been the worst day of her life and turn it into this feel-good story. And that, you know, that's a needle in a haystack. Finding, I'm assuming it wasn't a huge diamond. You know, it wasn't the Hope diamond in there. So that's pretty good that they were able to find it. I remember when it was my 10th wedding anniversary, and I was working in a kitchen, and every day I had to constantly wear rubber gloves, plastic gloves, whatever, and I'd be constantly taking them off, putting on new ones, taking them off, putting on new ones. And from time to time, sometimes my wedding ring would loosen because, you know, your hand gets warm in the gloves and, you know, things get slippery and sweaty. And so the glove would come off. I mean, the ring would slide off. And I don't know what must have happened, but I must have thrown away a glove with my ring in it. And it wasn't an expensive ring. It was a white gold band that I probably paid $100 for when I got married. But, you know, this was my 10th wedding anniversary. And I lost my wedding ring. And I was so upset by that. When I went home, I was like very devastated by it. And my wife, my ex-wife, was far more understanding. She's like, "Yeah, it happens. It's all right. It wasn't an expensive ring. Don't worry about it. You can get a replacement." And so I went to Walmart and bought like a cheap $25 replacement so that if it happened again, at least I wasn't spending a lot of money for what I was losing. But when I was upset about losing it, one of the maintenance workers at the warehouse where I was a cook, he went through the trash. He went through it, dug through it, couldn't find it. We never found it. I looked everywhere. I looked in the walk-in freezer, the walk-in fridge, all through the kitchen, figured it had to have been in the trash. And he went through all that trash and never found it with a metal detector. And we never found it. So, yeah, I guess, you know, it was either gone for good or somebody else found it and kept it and didn't want to turn it in. So I know what it's like to be in that panic mode of losing something like that. Obviously, this diamond far more valuable. And being an heirloom, a family heirloom, probably had even more sentimental value than my wedding ring did. And it turns out, fat lot of good it did me, right? But anyway, it was nice that somebody tried to help me find it anyway. So thanks, Paul, for that. And glad that this woman was able to get her family heirloom back. Let me take my next break, 508-996-0500. Oh, hold on. I should have played that already, and I didn't. So just give me a couple more seconds here. And by the way, if you've ever had a story like that where you've lost something that you thought was gone for good and you were able to find it again, let me know. Send me an app chat message. Send me an email, tim@wbsm.com. Give me a call, 508-996-0500, especially if somebody had to help you find it. Because those are the stories that, you know, we always love telling those stories. And we always love giving people a little bright spot in their day, because the news is bad enough. We can give you the feel good stuff every now and then too. All right, now let's take a break. We will be right back. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I don't know if you heard about this this dog attack that happened in Roxbury on Monday afternoon, but a dog apparently was attacking two people when police arrived. And, well, that was the report that police received, is that a dog was attacking two people at around 4:30 in the afternoon on Monday in Roxbury. And then what happened was, this is according to Boston Police Deputy Superintendent Paul McLaughlin, as reported by WHTH, when they arrived, they immediately rendered aid to the victims without the dog present. So the dog wasn't there when they got there. They were able to get the people some help. But while they were there, the dog returned and attacked the two officers. One of the victims, identified as Geraldine McInnes, who was 73 years old, she sustained life-threatening injuries from the dog attack and succumbed to her injuries yesterday morning. She passed away as a result of the injuries suffered by this dog attack. And two police officers sustained non-life-threatening injuries, but were still hospitalized. All four people bitten by the dog were taken to the hospital. And then, of course, one of the officers had to shoot and kill the dog as part of it. So I guess there were three other dogs in the home of where this dog was from. So they had to remove those dogs from the home as well. According to one of the neighbors, the dog was a pit bull. But, you know, the breed isn't as important as the way that the dog was treated. The neighbor said to WHDH, they had too many dogs and they put them in cages. I said, don't put a dog in a cage. Keep them from fighting or whatever. So this woman who was attacked and killed apparently was a phlebotomist and had lived in the building for a long time. You know, well, the neighbors knew her, they loved her, and now she's died as a result of injuries suffered from the attack by this dog. So just a heartbreaking story, because usually, you know, you hear about these dog attacks and somebody gets injured, but it's very rare that you hear about somebody dying as a result of it. But, you know, 73 years old, there probably wasn't, you know, against a big dog like that, there's probably not much that this woman could do. And I don't mean to make assumptions, but based on photos of her, she looked like a slight woman, you know? So maybe she didn't have a whole lot of strength to fight off this dog. And so now I'm glad that they took those other dogs from the home, because who knows what the temperament of those animals are. But yeah, that's a heartbreaking story all around. And thankfully the other people that were attacked will be okay. They just were non-life-threatening injuries, but still pretty serious injuries. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We have a call here, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Jim. It's me.
How you doing?
I don't know why I just said that. But anyway, how's your baby?
Nah, he's doing all right. He's still attacking me, which is not fun.
Oh, no. I was telling my sister-in-law that, and she said she had a cat one time, and it every time she was sleeping, it went for her feet and just and bit him all night long. All night long, and she said they were a mess. But she had a cat, but I don't think yours is that bad. But hers used to go for the feet.
Well, I was talking to his former owner. I sent her a message, and they said, you know, he never really did that to them except for when he got overstimulated. So I'm going to try and limit the stimulation. Like when I get home, I'm not going to, you know, pull out all of his toys and, you know, get him playing with them all. Like I'm just going to kind of get home and ignore him and then see if that kind of gets him to, to not get so worked up.
Yeah, I know. Did you take him for a walk?
Nah, he doesn't. He's not interested.
No. But they're in the house. They don't like to go out. But we do have a cat that sneaks out the door and just stays there and waits to come back in. I don't know. This cat is very strange. But, poor thing. Do you over-pet her? You pet her too much?
Well, so he rubs up against me. So he's the one that works himself up.
Yeah.
So
that's weird.
You know, he just does that and I let him do it. And then he gets to the point where it's too much and then he just swipes. And bites. So he's going to have to learn to break that or else he's going to have to go back to where he came from.
Oh, I know. It's too bad. Maybe you could talk to the vet or something about that, no?
I will. I mean, my vet's pretty good, so I can talk to her and see if she has any suggestions. But, you know, maybe he also could just be evil. That could be part of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's just pure evil. I don't know. I'm kidding. I'm sure he's not. He's just still a kitten, so.
Yeah, I've heard kittens are like that. There's a lot like that. But anyway, so now about that dog. Did the dog die too? I know they said yesterday the dog lived.
No, they had to euthanize the dog.
Oh, I thought they said that it lived after they shot it.
They did. They did shoot it, but then they ended up euthanizing it afterwards.
Oh, yeah. So. That's too bad too. Well, it's too bad for her. I wonder if she died of a heart attack or something. You know?
No, she died from her injuries. That's what they said. So yeah.
Wow.
Tough.
What a shame. Yeah. I don't know. I don't believe in caging dogs anyway.
But. Well, I mean, I guess that's how they kept these dogs all the time. So.
Yeah. Too bad. All right.
Have a good day.
All right,
take
Goodbye.
It easy. Let me take another quick call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey. Good morning, Jim. Hey, I don't know when it was posted, but I saw it yesterday on the Bedford Guide. You see that story about shows a person standing in front of their house and what appears to be some form of a ghost or something going by the person, and there's a quote in the bottom?
No, I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, I saw it last night about 10 o'clock. I don't know if it was actually posted, but I caught it yesterday.
I'll have to see if I can find it.
And it's got a little, a blue grid around it, so it's trying to give you, the parameters, what's the actual size and how far the camera is from the position, so... But there's a person standing there like they're waiting for somebody, and there's something appears to come from their right and go by them to the left, but you don't see a full figure.
Most of the time, a lot of that is just, you know, matrixing things that appear on the camera that look like they're objects, but might be something else, like bugs passing by the lens of the camera and things like that.
Well, go check it out. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Have a good day. Let me take my final break, and we'll be right back. All right, that's going to do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy. He's going to be talking about some very important local...
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save.